This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We, inshallah, start tonight a new biography of one of the brightest stars in the sky of Islam, one of the beacons, the as-sabiqun, the ones that proceeded ahead on the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet alaykum salam, and became a role model for Muslims for all times to follow with their behavior. Jazakallah khairan. With their behavior, with their following of the true following of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we have finished with the grace of Allah, with alhamdulillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the two khalifa after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, and Umar ibn al-Khattab al-Faruq, may Allah be pleased with him. And naturally we start with the biography of the Nurayn, Uthman ibn Affan رضي الله عنه. Uthman ibn Affan, his khilafah was for about 12 years. We know that the khilafah of Umar ibn Khattab lasted about 10 and a half years, and he was assassinated at the age of 63 years old. And that's the same, exact the same age that Abu Bakr was, he passed away at, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away at. Uthman ibn Affan became khalifa at the age of 70. So he was even at that point more senior to both of them at the time of their death. Uthman ibn Affan was born in Quraysh. His name is Uthman ibn Affan ibn Abi al-As ibn Umayyah ibn Shams ibn Abd Manaf ibn Qusay ibn Kulab. So he belongs to the tribe of Quraysh, and he is from the clan of Umayyah. The clan of Umayyah were known to be from the elite of Quraysh. They're not only the richest clan of Quraysh, but they're the most influential in the political atmosphere in Quraysh, and they're one of the strongest clans of Quraysh. And of the clan of Umayyah, we know that many people came after Uthman ibn Affan, and of those famous people actually that stood against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, who was also from the clan of Umayyah. And from this same clan of Umayyah comes the whole dynasty of the Umayyah Khilafah that took its capital in Damascus later on. So Uthman ibn Affan belonged to this rich and influential clan of Quraysh, and that is the clan of Umayyah. And he was born in Umayyah, in Quraysh, in Mecca, the sixth year after Al-Fil. So that was 576 after Christ. And Uthman is six years younger than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was introduced to Islam and was invited to embrace the true way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but none else but Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. And it is narrated that Uthman ibn Affan is the fourth person to embrace Islam altogether after Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. And we know Khadija was the first, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, and Zayd ibn Haritha, who was in the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then immediately Uthman ibn Affan, he was the first man outside this very small circuit, circle of people around the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, became the almost the fourth person to embrace Islam. So he is truly from as-sabiqun, from those in the forefront of Islam. Before Islam, Uthman ibn Affan, and after Islam, was very known in Quraysh and was very well liked in Quraysh. And even as the mothers would sing lullabies to their infants, to their children, they would sing to them, أُحِبُّكَ وَالرَّحْمَنْ حُبَّ قُرَيْشًا عُثْمَانْ. They would say, I love you by the Rahman, as Quraysh loves Uthman. That means that Quraysh was so much in love with Uthman. Why was Quraysh so much in love with Uthman? Because of his manners, because of his generosity. He was known with of his politeness, with his shyness. And after Islam, that became even more so and more apparent as he added to this his natural good behavior, the behavior and the manners of Islam and what he learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it was well known that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when anybody would come to him, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not change the way he was sitting or the way he's dressed, except when Uthman would come into the court of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, into the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if he was sitting laying down, he would sit up and he would put his garment upon himself, and they would say, "What's wrong, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" He said, "Ala astahi min rajulin tastahi minhu al-malaika." He said, "I feel shy in front of a person that the malaika, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, feel shy when he comes in because of his politeness and because of his natural shyness." And Uthman ibn Affan became very close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as the rest of the Sahaba, he suffered what Muslims paid in that early stage of Islam, is they had to be abused and persecuted. And Uthman ibn Affan was persecuted again in Quraysh. And the one that was given the mission of torturing Uthman ibn Affan was, as it was usual, is his family, is his clan. And Al-Hakam became the torturer of Uthman ibn Affan, and he would tie him down and they would beat him, and they would tell him, "Why don't you leave what you are doing and go back to the religion of your parents, of your clan?" And that was Al-Hakam ibn Abi al-As ibn Umayyah. And then he will say, "Wallahi la ada'uhu abadan wa la ifariqa, wallahi I will not leave that, and I will not desert the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." So he was left to go on because of his status in Quraysh. But what they did is they tried to do some economical embargo, because he was a rich man. He was a well-to-do merchant. He was somebody who's got wealth, and he inherited a lot of wealth from his father. So they would not buy from Uthman, and they would not try to sell Uthman, and Uthman would not care, and he would go on supporting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his finances. And just like Abu Bakr, he would pay to free slaves, and he would pay to support Muslims during those darkest years. And he continued to do that as later on. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said one time that one of the most the people that most likely to resemble the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Ibrahim was Uthman ibn Affan. Uthman ibn Affan not only took the manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he also had physical likeness that is reported in the books of history. The most important thing that Uthman ibn Affan, one of the most important thing that we know of, is now every mushaf we hold, you will see written on it, بالرسم العثماني, in the Uthmani writing. That all these masahif, that is according to the Uthmani writers, well, this not by nobody else but Uthman ibn Affan. The story for that is during the Armenian battles, the battles of Armenia and Azerbaijan, we spoke how Umar ibn Khattab had sent some sahaba to Al-Sham, to Al-Kufa, to Al-Basra, to Egypt, to have schools of religion, and in Al-Medina. What happened that in Armenia, some armies gathered from Syria, from Al-Sham, and from Al-Kufa. And they had two different schools of Qira'ah. Some of them read according to Ibn Abi Ka'b, and the other of Asham, and the other one according to Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. So they started having conflicts. This is how you should read this. No, this is not how you should read it. This is how it's read. And some of these conflicts actually escalated. And Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman came to Al-Madinah, and before he does anything, he went to Uthman ibn Affan. And I apologize about not translating this, I just did not have time, so I cut and pasted in Arabic, but I'll translate it here. He went and he said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, adrik al-Nas. Rescue the Muslims, help the Muslims." Uthman said, what is going on? What is serious? He said, غَزَوْتُ فَرْجَ أَرْمِينَ فَحَضَرَهَا أَهْلُ الْعِرَاقِ وَأَهْلُ الشَّامِ فَإِذَا أَهْلُ الشَّامِ يَقْرَؤُونَ بِقِرَاءَةِ أُبَيْ. He said, in Armenia, there were armies from Asham and armies from Al-Iraq. And the people of Asham reading the way of Ubay. فَيَأْتُونَ بِمَا لَمْ يَسْمَعْ أَهْلُ الْعِرَاقِ. Ahl al-Iraq never heard this recitation before, the way of recitation. Some words may give slightly different meaning. فَيُكَثِّرُهُمْ أَهْلُ الْعِرَاقِ. Ahl al-Iraq, they will say, these are kuffar. This is not Quran. He said, this is going to become a fitna. وَإِذَا أَهْلُ الْعِرَاقِ يَقْرَؤُونَ بِقِرَاءَةِ إِبْنِ مَسْعُودِ عَبْدُ بن مسعود in Al-Kufa, the people of Al-Iraq. And then يَأْتُونَ بِمَا لَمْ يَسْمَعْ أَهْلِ الشَّامِ. So the people of Asham will say, no, you, this is wrong, this is not Quran. So he said, this is a fitna that's about to start. And then he said, Zayd ibn Thabit. Now who is Zayd ibn Thabit? Zayd ibn Thabit is the same Sahabi that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq asked to gather the Quran between the two in one book, the Mus'haf. Now this is different. The Mus'haf is there. It is now known what the Mus'haf is. But the different qira'ah, different ways of writing, different pronunciation, that was common at that time. And yet, these new territories did not have that much knowledge of what the Qur'an is from Al-Fatiha to Surah An-Nas. It was bits and pieces still, and most of the knowledge of Al-Qur'an was still focused and concentrated in these main cities, in Al-Kufa, in Al-Basra, in Al-Madina. But the rest of these new territories, they had nothing, no reference to go by. So he said, Zayd ibn Thabit was brought, and Uthman said, he said, اكتب لي مصحفاً. Then you have to write the Mus'haf on one narration. So the way the collection of the Qur'an had seven steps by Uthman ibn Affan. First thing, al-i'timadu ala jam'i Abi Bakr as-Siddiq. That this was based on the collection of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Then all that work that was done by on the time of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq will not be wasted, and this collection of the Qur'an will be based on that Mus'haf. Then the whole collection of Zayd ibn Thabit and the people with him, and he had 12 Sahabi that are all authorities on Quran, that will be supervised by the Khalifa himself. That Uthman ibn Affan will supervise. Why the Khalifa himself? Because he is an authority on Quran. Because he is one of the writers of the Wahi of the Quran, and he is one of the people that are the teachers of Quran, as we said. Then everyone that had anything from the Mus'haf, from the Qur'an, heard from the Prophet ﷺ, or written, will be brought to this committee that is headed by Zayd ibn Thabit, supervised by Uthman ibn Affan, and there is 12 other Sahaba that are all authorities on Qur'an, will all review these things. Then, when there is a conflict, when there is still a discrepancy, there is a problem in the pronunciation, it goes on the language of Quraysh. The reference will be the way Quraysh say it. That will be the final thing that will go into the Quran. Then, everything that has been cancelled, we know some of the ayahs called Al-Mansukh, it's been cancelled, it was there and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained that it will be lifted from the Quran. That will not be there. What would make that Mansukh? We know in the last year of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he usually, in every Ramadan, he reviews Qur'an with Jibreel one time. In the last year, he reviewed it with Jibreel twice. And in one of them, Zayd ibn Thabit was present. He would hear the Prophet reciting the Qur'an, and he will know what the Prophet is saying in the very last final observation of the Qur'an al-Kareem. And anything that was not there, it's not considered Qur'an. Any ayah that is, somebody said, oh, I heard this ayah, it's, if it's not in that last recitation of the Prophet with Jibreel, it is not considered of the Qur'an. And then the letters, well, letter by letter in that last recitation will be fixed in that final book. And then after that, it will be reviewed by Zayd ibn Thabit, because everybody is working on it. All these 12 will be working on it, and now they will come to a final copy, and Zayd ibn Thabit himself will review it. Then after Zayd finally reviews everything and submits that final Qur'an to Uthman ibn Affan, which is the true version of Qur'an, then Uthman ibn Affan review it himself. And then he approves the authentication of the Quran as it's heard, word by word, letter from by letter from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's how they wrote that first Mus'haf, with the writing that is now today known as the writing of Uthman ibn Affan or al-Mus'haf al-Uthmani, and that was called al-Mus'haf al-Imam. That al-Mus'haf al-Imam is still there today. That is the same book, the same Mus'haf that Uthman ibn Affan was reciting. He kept it to himself as his private Mus'haf, and he would recite the Quran from that Mus'haf. And he was killed while he was reciting that, and his blood is on it today. And it's in Istanbul. It's in the capital of Turkey today. And that was kept in with Uthman in Al-Madinah. There were six copies made. The second copy was to be in Medina as a reference for the Medini school. The third one was to go to Mecca, to be a reference in Mecca for the Mecca school. The fourth one was to go to Al-Sham, to Damascus. The fifth one was to go to Al-Kufa. And the sixth one was to go to Al-Basra. Some historians say there was up to 12 actually, not only six, but most authentication that they will say that Uthman ibn Affan has authorized the six, and everything else is actually a copy, a true copy of these six masahif that they started with. Yes, bro. Welcome, sir. Of the Quran, Zayd ibn Thabit. The question is, how would he know? What makes Zayd, I think, an authority? He was, the Quran was basically his life. This is what he would recite, and this, he was not only a hafiz, he was also a teacher of Al-Quran. Like many other Sahaba, took it upon themselves to become the Quran authorities. And of them, we know many, many of them died during the Battle of Al-Yamama, that they used to be the teachers of the Quran. And that's why Abu Bakr decided to at least preserve that original copy of the Quran, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised, إِنَّا نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, revealed this Quran, and he will protect it and preserve it. And that was the first step at the time of Abu Bakr. Zayd ibn Abi Thabit himself is one of the highest authorities we know on Quran among the Sahaba. And he supervised that second collection by Uthman ibn Affan that went beyond what is the ayahs and what are the surahs and what is the order of them. It went into the very intricate details of how you pronounce each word and why is this different from other, and how to preserve the Quran letter by letter. So that's what made Zayd ibn Thabit an authority on Quran. I don't know if that answers.
So the original organization had been completed at the time of
Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Yes.
This was like final touches.
Well, the reason being, and I'm trying to actually bring some examples, and because even that very first copy was there. Arabic writing was not mature at that time. So, and there is no vowels enough in the Quran, and many words can be read the very same characters of the word, the very same drawing of the letters can be read in two different ways. And that's what the Sahaba were having problems with, and the new Muslims were having problem with, is this can be read like this, and it can be read like that. And Ubay would read it like this, and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud would read it like that. And they will say, no, you are wrong, and you are wrong. So this is, the Rasm al-Uthmani was there to say, this is the way you do it, and this is the way you read it. And they left a few words that were okay to be pronounced in two different ways that will not change the whole meaning of the ayah, or if the two meanings were accepted. So that's why we have today seven ways of reading the Quran. None of them would conflict with the other. None of them would mean anything that would way be different from the other. But it's just a different way of pronouncing these letters. Yeah. In one book, but there was no no authorized copy to speak that were made of it, number one. The other thing, the same Mus'haf that had that Zayd ibn Thabit and Abu Bakr and at the time of Umar ibn Khattab, that same Mus'haf was not being copied in an authoritative way. And the writing of the words would still be changing when people trying to rewrite the Mus'haf. Now what Uthman wanted to do is to have a book that you, and you know what happened after that, is he said any other Mus'haf has to be burned. Any other copy has to be burned. So the people, when they say, okay, Uthman, when the enemies of Uthman started to turn the fitna around, he said, they started calling him Hariq al-Masahib, the burner of the Qur'an. Well, he's not the burner of the Qur'an. Ali said he burned every single sahifa, every single paper of the Qur'an with all the sahaba present. And with us, he said, if he didn't do it, I would do it. Ali said, had he not done that, I would do it. Because there should be no conflict of what the Qur'an is. There should be no mistake done about the Qur'an. I guess what you're trying to see is what is the difference between the Mus'haf of Abu Bakr and the Mus'haf of Uthman. Well, the differences are, number one, in the new haraka, is in the what the hamza is, where the, this has started being introduced initially into the Arabic language. And they started putting that, and that was perfected at the time of Ali ibn Abi Talib later on, in the same masahif. To exactly know how to pronounce and how to say these words. These books that we have today is an improved version of what is there, because it tells us exactly how to make tajweed and exactly how to say the words. That was not available at that time. And people would do whatever they want to do it if they don't know Arabic.
Right. The second question is, so there would be so many copies available. There were only one copy from the first.
Yes.
The first jama'ah, which means that there were seven different dialects, there are seven different ways of reciting the Quran. And because there were a lot of people who coming from different languages,
we recite, most of us recite in Hafs. Most of what you hear from Sheikh Mas'ud is mostly Hafs, I mean, isn't it?
The other thing is like about the cancer that you mentioned, was there something, was the cancellation complete at the time?
I'm sorry, I can barely hear you. I think this is getting too loud. Yeah, the Nasakh, yeah.
Was everything completed at the time of
I think Brother Nabil explained it very well. Let me just reiterate that. At the time of Abu Bakr, the collection was not rewriting the Mus'haf, was not putting a new book that saying this is the Mus'haf. Abu Bakr said anybody that has something authenticated that it came from the mouth of the Prophet ﷺ will be collected in that book, and it was kept in with Hafs, with the daughter of Umar ibn Khattab. Now that had written, that was written by many different people, not one person. The other thing, it had everything that was also cancelled from the Quran. It was, yes, heard from the words in the mouth of the Prophet, but in the last recitation it was omitted. This is well known in the Quran. So the writing of Uthman, number one, it is all written in a Mus'haf like we have it today. And it had everything that is outside, it's been cancelled, is omitted away from that book. That's the two major differences, inshallah. So inshallah we'll stop here for Salat al-Isha. And the next session will not be on the next weekend, inshallah, not be next. Had written, that was written by many different people, not one person. The other thing, it had everything that was also cancelled from the Qur'an. It was, yes, heard from the words in the mouth of the Prophet, but in the last recitation, it was omitted. This is well known in the Qur'an. So the writing of Uthman, number one, it is all written in a mushaf like we have it today, and it had everything that is outside, it's been cancelled, is omitted away from that book. That's the two major differences, inshallah. So inshallah, we'll stop here for Salat al-Isha. And the next session will not be on the next weekend, inshallah. Not be next. Oh.